Hey everyone, welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to be exploring local action, but from a perspective you might not find in your usual sources.
Okay, interesting.
We're going to be checking out, a collection of free ebooks, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're available at tomsfreebooks.com. And I got to say, if you're totally happy with the way things are going right now,
Yeah.
these books might ruffle a few feathers.
That's interesting. What makes them so different?
Well, let me put it this way. If your opinion is that the American establishment is doing a fantastic job, really looking out for the best interests of the people,
Right.
these books are probably not your cup of tea.
Gotcha. So who's the author? Someone who's not afraid to challenge the status quo.
Exactly. His name is Tom Woods,
Okay.
and he's got some serious credentials, like the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
He won that back in 2019 in Vienna, and he's also written a bunch of books,
Oh, wow.
like 13 of them, including a couple of New York Times bestsellers: The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History and Meltdown.
It sounds like he's got a knack for tackling controversial
Oh,
topics.
absolutely. And one book that really caught my eye
Yeah.
was Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About Gender.
Oh, interesting title.
Right. And he just jumps right into it,
Okay.
talking about how these ideas that might seem, I don't know, kind of out there at first can quickly become widely
Oh,
accepted.
yeah, I see that all the time.
And then anybody who questions them is labeled intolerant or, whatever the term du jour is.
Yeah, it's like you can't even have a conversation anymore without someone getting offended.
It's crazy, right? And Woods dives into the transgender movement specifically.
Okay.
He highlights some really thought-provoking arguments.
Like what?
Well, for instance, he suggests that a lot of the movement is built on claims that don't always hold up under close examination.
Mm.
He also points to the immense pressure that young people are facing to transition,
Oh, I've heard about that.
often with the promise that it will cure their depression or social anxiety.
Which is, I mean, that's a pretty big claim.
It is, and it raises some serious questions about the potential consequences, both for individuals and for society as a whole, if we just accept these claims without really examining them critically.
That's a really good point.
Woods argues that many of the claims within the transgender movement actually lack solid scientific backing,
Oh, interesting.
and that those who disagree are often silenced, even within professional circles.
Wow. So it's like there's this pressure to conform.
Yeah, exactly. To
Yeah.
really illustrate his points,
Yeah.
Woods brings in some compelling voices. One of them is Dr. Miriam Grossman, a child psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And she paints a pretty alarming picture of this thing called rapid onset gender dysphoria.
Rapid onset gender dysphoria.
Yeah, it's like it's spreading really quickly, especially among friend groups.
Like a social contagion almost?
Exactly. But the thing is, there's no evidence of any physical differences in the brains or bodies of these kids.
So what's driving it then?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And Dr. Grossman shares some pretty chilling stories from her practice.
Oh, like what?
Well, she talks about parents who are struggling with their child's desire to transition. And when they express concerns, they're hit with this line, like, well, would you rather have a trans child or a dead child?
Wow, that's a really manipulative tactic.
It is. And it makes parents feel incredibly trapped,
Yeah.
like they have no other choice but to affirm their child's self-declared gender identity.
That's heavy.
Yeah. And she really emphasizes how dangerous that can be, because kids go through phases
Right.
and they need time to explore their feelings without being pushed in one direction or another.
I can see that. It's like we're not letting kids be kids anymore. We're
Yeah.
expecting them to have everything figured out at such a young age.
And she even offers some practical advice for parents who are dealing with
Oh,
this.
that's great. Like, what kind of advice?
Well, she suggests responding to a child's declaration with curiosity instead of panic, validating their feelings without necessarily validating their ideas,
That's a good
and
distinction.
most importantly, getting informed themselves.
That's so important.
Right. She also talks about how this issue can create rifts within families, like parents might disagree on how to handle it.
Yeah, I can imagine that could lead to some serious tension.
Absolutely. And it can even lead to the involvement of child protective services in some cases.
Wow, that's intense. So it's not just a personal issue, it can have legal ramifications too.
Exactly. And it gets even more complex when you consider the experiences of detransitioners. Yeah,
Detransitioners.
those are individuals who transition and then later regret it.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard much about them.
Yeah, they're often overlooked. Their stories are frequently dismissed by the medical community.
That's really sad. Their experiences are just as valid.
Absolutely. To explore this further, Woods brings in Jennifer Law,
Okay.
She's the filmmaker behind the documentary The Lost Boys.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. It focuses on young men who transitioned and later regretted it.
So it gives a voice to those who are often silenced.
Exactly.
It's important to hear those perspectives.
Absolutely. And these men share their personal stories. It's heartbreaking to hear how they were often ridiculed for not fitting into traditional gender roles.
Oh, I can imagine.
And how that ultimately pushed them toward transitioning.
So they felt like they didn't belong anywhere.
Exactly. Like they had to change who they were to be accepted.
It's a powerful reminder that we need to create a society where people feel comfortable expressing themselves authentically without feeling pressured to conform to rigid expectations.
I couldn't agree more.
Lal also points out how, like, some therapists are so quick to jump to medical interventions.
Yeah.
You know, prescribing puberty blockers or hormones after, like, just one phone call.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's kind of alarming when you think about the long-term consequences of those interventions, especially for young people.
I mean, are they even fully evaluating these kids before making such drastic decisions?
Yeah, that's a good question. And Lal is pretty critical of professional associations, too.
How so?
She sees them as becoming more like advocates for a specific ideology rather than objective sources of guidance, you know?
So there's a conflict of interest there.
Potentially, yeah.
It's like the line gets blurred between, like, advocacy and professional responsibility.
Exactly. And then there's the whole issue of the internet.
Oh, yeah, the double-edged sword.
Right. On one hand, it can give a voice to those who are marginalized.
Sure.
But it can also become this breeding ground for echo chambers and potentially harmful ideologies.
Especially for young people who spend so much time online.
Absolutely. It's really important to develop critical thinking skills and media literacy to navigate all that.
So true. And speaking of voices that challenge the mainstream narrative, Woods brings in Megan Murphy.
Okay. Who's she?
She's a feminist writer and journalist who's been super vocal in her criticism of transgender ideology.
Interesting. What are her main arguments?
Well, she's faced a lot of backlash for her views, like she's even been labeled a TERF.
A tier.
Yeah, it stands for Trans-Exclusionary Radical Feminist.
Oh, right. I've heard that term thrown around.
So for Murphy and others who share her views, it's not about feeling like a woman trapped in a man's body or anything like that.
Okay.
It's more about challenging the roles and stereotypes that society assigns to men and women in general.
So it's a different approach to feminism.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's where the conflict comes in, right?
How so?
Well, Murphy argues that allowing men who identify as women into female-only spaces.
Like what kind of spaces?
Bathrooms, shelters, sports, you know.
Okay.
She says it undermines the safety and rights that women have fought for.
I can see how that could be a concern, but wouldn't that be considered discriminatory?
That's the debate, right?
Right.
Murphy and other radical feminists argue that it's not about discriminating against transgender individuals.
But about protecting the hard-won rights of women.
As a sex class. So it's about balancing competing rights and interests, which is always tricky.
For sure. But how did she get in trouble with Twitter?
Well, she was permanently suspended for misgendering individuals.
What does that even mean?
Basically, she refused to use pronouns that didn't align with an individual's biological sex, even if they identified as a different gender.
Wow. A permanent suspension? That seems extreme.
It does, right. But it shows how sensitive this issue is.
And how quickly dissenting voices can be silenced online.
It makes you wonder how many other voices are being shut down for expressing similar views.
It's a bit unsettling, to say the least. But that's what this deep dive is all about, isn't it? Encouraging people to think critically for themselves.
Exactly.
To question information, consider different perspectives.
Even the ones that might be unpopular or controversial.
Absolutely. You can't just dismiss an idea because it's labeled as controversial or right-wing or whatever.
It's about thinking for yourself.
Exactly. Evaluate ideas based on their merit, not just on who's saying them.
So where does Woods go from there?
Well, he ends, "Your Facebook friends are wrong about gender," by talking about the importance of local action.
Local action?
Yeah. He argues that if you see something happening in your community that you believe is wrong, you have a responsibility to push back.
That makes sense. But what does local action actually look like in this context?
That's a good question. To answer it, he introduces another interesting perspective in his book, Hidden Agenda, Transgenderism's Struggle Against Reality.
Okay.
He interviews a philosopher named Gerard Casey.
Okay.
And Casey argues that the transgender movement is actually part of a much larger agenda.
A larger agenda? Like what?
Well, he says it's about reshaping our understanding of human nature and reality itself.
Whoa, that's a pretty bold claim.
It is. He suggests that if we can be convinced to accept something that seems so obviously false, like the idea that a man can become a woman just by saying so,
right.
then anything is possible. It erodes our ability to discern truth from falsehood.
It's kind of scary when you think about it.
Yeah. And that's the danger of what he calls the hidden agenda.
A hidden agenda. So it's like a conspiracy theory.
Well, he sees it as an attempt to control language, rewrite history, and ultimately reshape society according to a specific ideology.
Hmm. That's a lot to unpack.
It is. But he doesn't just throw out these ideas. He points to real world examples.
Like what?
Well, he talks about laws like the Gender Recognition Act in the UK and the Bostock ruling in the US,
okay.
which have legally redefined sex to include gender identity.
So they're basically erasing the biological distinction between male and female.
In legal terms, yes. So he's saying the legal system is being used to enforce this ideology.
Which is a pretty big deal.
It is. And he's not alone in this view. Other legal commentators have raised similar concerns.
It's fascinating how all these different voices and sources start to connect.
Right. It's not just individual stories or opinions. It's like a pattern.
A pattern of ideas and actions that are shaping our society.
And that's the power of this deep dive. It's about connecting the dots, seeing the bigger picture.
It's about empowering you to think critically and understand these forces that are at play.
And to recognize that even small actions can make a difference.
I like that.
Whether it's speaking out against something you disagree with, supporting an organization that aligns with your values.
Or even just having open and honest conversations with people.
Exactly. Every action contributes to a larger movement.
Woods also talks about the courage of those who are willing to speak out against this ideology.
Especially those who've experienced the harms of transitioning firsthand.
Yeah. Their stories are so...
They provide a counter narrative to what you often hear in the mainstream media.
Right. And they force us to confront the potential for harm when ideology overshadows individual well-being.
Yeah. It's easy to get lost in the abstract debates and stuff.
Totally.
But then you hear these stories and it brings it all back down to earth.
Exactly.
These are real people with real lives.
Real consequences.
Just highlights the need for critical thinking, you know? Especially with such an emotionally charged topic.
Yeah, it's easy to get swept up in the emotion of it all.
For sure. But we got to step back and ask the tough questions.
Like what?
Well, what does the evidence actually say? What are the risks? The benefits? Are we even considering all sides of the issue?
And are we challenging our own assumptions?
Yeah.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Exactly. And I appreciate that Woods and his guests encourage that kind of open-mindedness. Yeah.
Oh, totally. So getting back to the experts... Jennifer Law brings up something about medical professionals.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Well, she expresses concern about how quickly some therapists are to prescribe puberty blockers and hormones.
Right, right.
Like sometimes after just a single phone call.
Yeah, I remember that. That is concerning, especially when you're dealing with young people who might not fully grasp the long-term consequences.
Right. Like, are they even getting a proper evaluation?
It does make you wonder.
Are these professionals thinking critically? Or have they been caught up in this movement without really considering all the angles?
Yeah, that's a big question. It all comes back to careful evaluation, open dialogue, and, you know...
Being open to different perspectives.
Exactly. Yeah. Even when they challenge what everyone else is saying.
This whole deep dive has been a real eye-opener for me.
Me too.
Like, things can change so quickly.
It's crazy.
And people get silenced for speaking up. It's just made me realize how important it is to stay informed.
And engaged.
Yeah. Like, we can't just sit back and let these ideologies reshape our world.
Absolutely not. This deep dive is about empowering you. You have a voice.
We all do.
You have a role to play in shaping the world you want to live in.
This isn't about telling anyone what to think.
No way. It's about giving you the tools to think for yourself.
And then to take action.
Right. What are you going to do with what you've learned?
Yeah. How are you going to apply it to your life and your community? What concrete steps can you take to stand up for what you believe in?
Even small actions can make a difference, you know?
Like what?
Supporting organizations you believe in, speaking out against harmful ideas, even just having honest conversations with people.
Every little bit counts, right?
Exactly. You're not powerless.
We can make a difference.
Starting right now.
In our own little corner of the world.
So go check out those free resources at tomsfreebooks.com.
Yeah, connect with other people.
Yeah. Let's create a world where critical thinking and local action are just the norm.
I love it. All right, everyone. That's it for our deep dive today.
Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you next time.